Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Spoiler alert. We're going to give you a spoiler alert. We have spent 6 weeks on relationships. We have covered everything from loneliness
isolation. We talked about the antidote to loneliness, and yes, it's solitude, right? Solitude with God. And we talked about how solitude does not mean isolation.
That's right.
Right? Isolation and solitude are two different things. We need solitude with God, but we must avoid being isolated from people and community. Amen?
Then we moved on to week two to deal with unrealistic expectations, yeah, and those are based in assumptions. So if we want to improve the quality of our relationships, we want to make sure that we're not making decisions solely based off of assumption.
Or comparing our relationships to other people.
Pastor Rich came through with the third key to better relationships, and he basically said, If you're in a wrong place, you make bad picks when you're in a bad place.
He gave so many good nuggets, but that was just one of the many.
So we'll be releasing that message this week as well. Week four, we dealt with direct communication, which means when we're talking, we need to talk to the right person, mm-hmm, at the right place
with the right tone.
Those three things are important when having direct and effective communication. And then last week, my favorite.
Pray for me, y'all.
We dealt with sex, affection.
And then it's so funny. After we did this message, he was like, Ashley, we can't be a hypocrite.
We got to practice
the word of
just,
God.
You know, Barry White, the pastor Barry White said, practice what you preach. Barry White said it. I had to just reinforce what he said. And your first lady is no hypocrite. All right, so let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We have two opening text scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and then in verse 18. And it says here, and I love this because I was going through a funk this week.
Yeah. Oh, y'all, I was the past 2 weeks, so.
Y'all have never been there, so we're just going to talk about ourselves. Yes. I was just in a complete funk. Like, nothing felt like it was working at all. I felt like a complete and utter failure. I know you all have never felt that. I had that type of week this weekend. So sometimes you can't go to books. You need to go to the Bible.
Amen.
And you need to hear a word for yourself. And I had that moment on Friday. First, I realized that Mr. Rest and Emotional Health Guy wasn't taking Sabbath. He was sort of taking Sabbath. He wasn't really resting. And so I got up Friday to do a little work before I got up.
How many of you know that little work turns into the whole day? It'd be 5 o'clock. You'd be like, what?
No creativity, no nothing. And the Lord said, I wonder, when was the last time you took a break? I said, noble idea. And so I completely just stopped, and, you know, we just had a good day of hanging out, and the Lord led me to the Apostle Paul. One of the loneliest places sometimes that my wife and I can be is extremely young pastors. It's lonely because most people call a young pastor young when he's 45.
40s, yeah.
That's a young guy.
Which that is young.
That's young. Amen. For all y'all mid-40s. You know, God bless you. You're still young. Ooh, 40, new 30, okay? But for someone who's a pastor in their early 30s.
Yeah, we're like babies.
Y'all, sometimes you need to hear from God yourself. Yes. And so Paul was a seasoned vet talking to young Timothy, letting him know that what he's waging into, what he's dealing with relationships and taking on the leadership role of a church. Back then in those days, church was about life groups. Church wasn't typically the only assembly where people got together. So Timothy was responsible for all of the relationships with all of the backgrounds, and it was heavy on him. And so Paul, the seasoned vet, began to mentor Timothy in relationships. And it was like he was talking to us as well. And I'm using this text to talk to you in your life, because there are things that you still have to navigate. There are things about relationships, whether it's marriage, whether it's interpersonal relationships, whether
children,
it's on the job.
On the job, yeah.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
You are going to need some encouragement to keep doing the right thing. So we're going to give you what we call the spoiler alert, which is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and also verse 18 when it comes to having healthy relationships.
You said 1 Timothy chapter 5.
Oh, 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Verse 5 and
Amen.
18.
Get me right.
I'm trying.
Amen.
We're going to do this.
We're going to do it.
Amen.
Are we?
Oh, see?
All right.
Y'all.
Number, verse
Y'all
5.
Y'all didn't even catch it. Amen. They didn't even catch it.
Thank you. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. Verse 18, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Amen. So what he's talking to Timothy about is, there are going to be moments in relationships that downright hurt. He's encouraging him as a general does another soldier in an army to get ready for life not to be filled with daisies and relationships not only to have sunny days. Get ready to endure situations, but make sure you keep your heart right in the process. And so the reason why we entitled this spoiler alert, you see, a spoiler is a warning that an important detail of the plot development is about to be revealed. So Timothy is giving, or Paul is giving Timothy insight into what is about to happen so that he can be prepared. All of us need someone who's gone before us, yes, to warn us, to mentor us, to coach us, to let us know about the things around the corner. And that's why I love the Outlet community. We are extremely diverse in our ages and our backgrounds, and it totally lives out the book of Titus, where the older are mentoring the younger and the younger are spending time with the older. And no matter what our ages are, we're working together. But y'all, have y'all been there where you were in suspense about something? Let's just say it was a TV show.
Yeah, a TV show, a movie you hadn't seen yet, but was really big. By the way, there's a movie out right now that's really big. And I don't know. It's kind of causing some. I don't know if y'all heard about the new Joker movie. We hadn't seen it yet. If y'all told us, don't share if y'all seen it. But anyway, but yeah, a movie, a video, I'm sorry, I'm going off. Videos, movies, episodes that you were catching up, like you DVR'd, right? You're trying to see, but maybe one of your friends and saw it.
And so you had all this suspense built up, and then someone gave you the insight to what was going to go on. So you don't know hurt until somebody tells you the plot of something
really
that you were waiting
to
see. So my wife and I, we have some guilty pleasures that we enjoy as far as on television. We like watching like Netflix shows, Netflix and chilling and all that kind
we
of stuff.
We hadn't gotten into it as much, but the last one was.
Well, the last one was Designated Survivor. But Designated the one before Survivor. That was Scandal.
Scandal.
Y'all remember Scandal?
That was a big
one. Oh, that
one.
Show
Everybody
back in the day.
Scandal.
And I remember toward the end of the season, they were starting to have really, you know, suspenseful shows, and I would come home late from work, and she would be there, and I would say, let's watch it. And so when I started to get nervous, I noticed my wife wasn't getting as nervous as I was, and I'm like, why aren't you getting this?
Okay, so I do this. I read ahead, and sometimes I'll watch ahead when he's not there. Y'all are the bad wife.
And so she didn't realize she was telling me that she cheated on me with watching the show ahead of me.
That
there is no hurt.
And was happy about it.
And said, oh, yeah, oh, no. They all die. She don't. She fine. And I'm like, how? Well, we want to give you a spoiler to help you alleviate the stress or the suspense of relationships. And so as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we have what I call our first spoiler alert. And the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with the love that comes from, number one, a pure heart, a clear conscience and genuine faith. How do we have healthy relationships? We have to maintain clarity in the relationship. We have to maintain love out of a pure heart, which means I'm only looking out for what's best for every person I come in contact with. We want to make sure that we have a clear conscience, a clear value system that doesn't get compromised because of different decisions that we've made in our own benefit, but we're preferring other people. Mm-hmm. And to make sure that we have authentic faith, an authentic relationship with God. Let's drop down to verse 18. And I want to read this from the New Daily Study Bible. And so, again, Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, I entrust this charge to you, Timothy lad, because it is the natural consequence of the message which came to the prophets from God. I want you all to watch this. Which marked you out as the very person for this work. That you're not alive by accident. You're not in the relationships that you're in by accident. Every relationship has a purpose, and without knowing a purpose, abuse is inevitable. And so there is a certain reason. You've been marked. You've been set apart for this work. You're the person for this work, so that in obedience to these messages, you may wage a fine campaign. Verse 19. So now I want you to cling to your faith in Christ. I want you to keep your conscience clear in your relationships. This is going to help you in your questions about what should I do. After you're done, can you look yourself in the eye?
Yes. Another word for conscience is self-awareness. And that's really big in our society now. We're getting big on emotional quotient, right? And as leaders, we have to have a good EQ or a high level, at least a decent level of EQ, to know how we respond and the ways and our triggers and how people can irk us and then not be able to give that back. So when it's talking about keep your conscience clear, maintain good self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Who am I and how do I respond when I'm not getting things my way? How do I respond when I'm in leadership and it's supposed to be going this way, but it's going left? How do I respond? Am I emotional? Am I a basket case? Am I all over the place? How am I responding? So maintain good self-awareness. Amen?
Because we all have times where we don't see ourselves. We have blind spots. Yeah. And so it's saying for some have deliberately. So it's one thing to not know you have blind spots, but it's another thing to know you have blind spots and not address them. And so what happens to us when we don't address our blind spots? Well, our conscience, our awareness becomes clouded. And when our conscience or our self-awareness becomes clouded, it then spoils the other relationships around us. So I want to just go ahead and throw out and dispel any questions or thoughts you may have about what are those attitudes? What are those things that are clouding up my conscience? Well, I want to let you know that I had to keep the fellas in. I'm sorry. Yesterday was a great day.
You love that little
ding thing. I love that thing. It's great.
Amen. But okay, we got it.
All right.
Stop. Okay. You just playing now.
I'm sorry. I enjoyed it.
I know. Keep going.
So here are three areas I want you to think about. This is what destroys our relationships. Last week we talked about the small foxes. Let me show you these small foxes. Destructive habits or addictions. Number two, poor attitude. External or passive aggression. They destroy relationships. And number three, a sense of entitlement in our relationships. Or any act apart from gratitude is a sense of entitlement.
And so what that really breaks down to is we realize that in the Bible, wives are to respect their husbands, right? That is due them. But men are to honor and respect their wives as well, right? And to love their wives. We realize this is something that's due. And the Bible even says this. However, entitlement means, although I'm due this, I don't demand, right? And when I'm due this, I'm grateful for it.
Amen.
There's a difference. Sometimes you could be due something, but you, oh, I expect that to happen. And so your heart towards it, your whole approach is not in a heart of gratitude anymore. Yes, you're do it, but we are to be grateful for everything.
So what I love about that, and let me make this real practical, because we look at others and say they have a sense of entitlement, but we sometimes fail to see the entitlement in us. This is what the Lord kind of showed me as we were studying. He said, any day I get up without praying, I'm exhibiting a sense of entitlement. Anytime I don't tell first, you know, charity starts at home. Anytime I don't tell my wife thank you for anything that she's done for me, that's a sense of entitlement. Anytime I don't tell any of the volunteers, the leaders, those who serve with us on our core team, our staff, anytime I don't tell them thank you for what they do, it's a sense of entitlement. And entitlement destroys the purity of relationships. So the question that we want to leave you with is, what keeps our conscience clear? What enhances our life's relationships? Verse 19, it says, cling to your faith in Christ. In essence, you need to own your stuff.
Own your stuff.
You need to own your stuff. Y'all look good today. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You want a better relationship? Own your stuff.
But what if it was their fault?
What if it wasn't?
What if it was?
Oh, own your stuff. What if it wasn't? Own your stuff. Owning your stuff doesn't mean owning the blame. It means owning the responsibility for making things better.
Yes. There was a quote somewhere. It says, sometimes the hurt was not our fault, but it's our responsibility to get healed.
I think I said that quote.
Did you? I don't think you
that
said
was the one quote
but
I amen, know I
I'm
said.
I'm going to let him have it. Okay. It was your quote, babe.
I don't own my stuff. I'm going to own that quote. I ain't going to let somebody else have it. I steal all the other quotes, and I can get a good one. We need to own our stuff.
Yes.
Maintain clarity. Keep your conscience clear. Own your stuff. Repeat this after me. Maintain clarity.
Maintain clarity.
Keep your conscience clear.
Keep your conscience clear.
Own your stuff. I would have used another S word, but I can't because I'm preaching, but y'all get the point, right? Own your stuff.
Oh, amen. I just caught that.
That's the word of the Lord unto somebody today. You need to own it. Hashtag that.